Amen. God bless you. I want to talk to you tonight about, it just seems like there's this theme that's going on and on in our men's group on Friday night. You are spot on, Ron. It was a great time. It was completely different from every other men's night that we've had. It was just completely different, but it was powerful. It was great. It was great. We played Jeopardy even. I mean, with the buttons and everything. It is so fun to slap them buttons. Amen. I mean, sometimes we just blurt out the answer and never even slap the button. And then the other team would slap the button and take our answer, which was just wrong. But it was a great time talking about salvation and the processes leading up to and after the fact and those kinds of things and how folks could walk away from the Lord and from salvation and just give up. Why would anybody want to do that beyond me? But anyway, we're going to talk tonight. How many of you just get out in the world, and when you're out in the world rubbing shoulders with people, like today, going car shopping, for instance. I mean, you almost feel dirty when you come out of that, because we get out in the world and we rub shoulders and we rub, up against the things of the world, and we can feel to some degree oftentimes violated, or at least contaminated, maybe is a good word, from just being in the world. Amen. As we're trying to stay holy. But I want to talk to you tonight about cleansing through the Word. Cleansing through the Word. I haven't said this for a while, but I was provoked tonight, and I feel like saying it. Bring your Bible to church. Amen. Bring your Bible to church. I leave a Bible at church just so that I'll have it. I'm afraid if I carry this Bible around very much more, it's just going to vaporize it. I mean, it is literally falling apart, but it's my favorite Bible. I got a brand spanking new one at the house, but who wants to mess up a new Bible? When you got an old one that you can just, it just feels so good. I just can't pack it around like I used to. Bring your Bible. I was telling somebody, I have Michelle and Fred back there, sometimes Steve or Jeannie or Tabitha or even Tammy or sits back there. I could just tell them, put this on the screen. They just put it on there. I can put anything I want up on there. And if you don't have something to check what I have put up there with, you'll never know. Hello. The truth of the matter is, and my wife and kids will tell you, I fought forever against even putting the scriptures on the wall, on the screen. You know why? Why should I bring my Bible? Why bring my Bible? You put it up on the screen. But you need to bring your Bible. You need to check what's being said, whether it's me or Tim or Ron or Bob or whoever's in this pulpit. Amen? I just think that it's an important truth, but we're surrounded by, especially this time of year. I don't know about the rest of you. Some people like fall. I like fall because it's hunting season. I like that. But springtime is my favorite time of the year. Especially out in the brush and the woods and stuff, and seeing brand new little babies, deer and stuff, and new baby calves. I don't care too much about the lambs and stuff, but I guess they're kind of cute, but they grow up. Amen. But little calves. Oh, I just love calves. Running around out in the field. I love the spring flowers. Tammy and I planted a what kind of rose is it? A double delight rose. And some little children was at the house playing. Wasn't yours. Yeah. It wasn't yours. It wasn't a kin of mine. wasn't immediate kin anyway. Stepped right on it. Broke the little, it had a little fork, and they stepped right in the middle and broke it like that. And I thought, Tammy's going to kill me. I got to fix this. And I thought, buddy, close, a bread tie. I said, man, they graft stuff on the fruit trees and this and that, everything, all the time. This ain't no different than cutting your finger, man. And so I went out there with a little bread tie, and I put them back together, and I wrapped it all up, tied it all. That little sucker's out there just blab. I mean, that thing is growing stuff like none other. I believe it's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that thing's healed. I might get a loaf of bread out of it. You never know. You know, you don't have to look hard, folks, to see the beauty that God has created and that God has given us for our enjoyment. That's probably one of the greatest things that I miss about getting up and driving log truck every day is all the things that I used to see on the daily that I don't get to see now so much unless it's on purpose. But we're surrounded. I watch as Fred and Michelle and those guys go through different screens and different pictures and settings to, because they try and find stuff that kind of correlates with the message, and they put some beautiful pictures up on there. This is a beautiful picture as well, and my message is obviously cleansing through the Word, but we're surrounded, church, by fantastic displays of God's craftsmanship. The heavens give a dramatic evidence of His existence and His power and His love and His care. We spent 11 years in southern Utah, and we lived in a log house on Quail Ridge Drive. Hallelujah. The front porch, when you walked out the front door, you looked right straight ahead at Zion National Park. Woo! It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Kolob is there. Moab, not far from there. The Grand Canyon, not too far from there. Lake Powell, not that far from there. You know, just some of the most spectacular displays of the craftsmanship and the handiwork of God. And He just, I wish I had that kind of ability. Because I'm working in my garage trying to build I'd just say, be this way. And it would. And I'd be like, and it was good. Bam! It was good. And now I'm going to go rest. Because that about wore me out. God's so good. He just spoke those things into being. Those flowers on that deal back there, He just spoke flowers to come to and begin to bloom and put a bulb under the ground so that next year the same thing would pop up again. Year after year after year, the glory of the displays of His craftsmanship. To say that the universe happened by chance is absolutely absurd. It's ridiculous. The Big Bang Theory. The very design and the intricacy and the orderliness point to a personally involved Creator. Sometimes I just get to thinking too much about stuff. And I think about like an eyeball. And you begin to think about everything that God, I mean, He just spoke it. But how would you even know what to speak unless you're God? I mean, think about some of it. Let your mind just think about some of this stuff. You know, I've run heavy equipment all my life, driven log trucks all my life, cut logs in my life. I've done all this kind of stuff. Do you know everything that has a moving part, I have to grease it? Did you know that? If you don't, it will dry up and it will stick and it will start tearing up stuff. When's the last time you ever greased one of your joints? Now, granted, some of us are squeaking a little bit these days, but it's because you ain't eating enough bacon, all right? That's why. That's why. I'm just trying to help y'all out. But it's those kinds of things that we don't even think about. When, you know, our eyeballs, our eyes stay lubricated all the time. That slick stuff, your eyes don't, your eyelids, I don't know of anybody that, you know, their eyelids just stuck. My mom used to tell me, because I'd flip mine inside out, my mom would tell me, me and you cut from the same cloth, bro. My mom would say, your eyes are going to stick like that. I thought, oh, can't have that, you know. That would be horrible. Just think about some of this stuff. This our Creator did that. Think about a life in a womb. I mean, I won't even get too involved in this, but you just think about that. That two things come together and then they start dividing, and bam, the next thing you know, there's a real live human in there. Settle down over there, sister. Can you even imagine the greatness of God? He deserves the glory. I can't even get started on my message because of the worship tonight. His designs. He designed this. The intricacy, the orderliness. You can't have all that we have without a Creator. It didn't just. Here's my problem, and I'm just going to sum it up with this, and then I'm going to preach. I promise. If we evolved from monkeys or apes or whatever, where's all the folks with tails only about this long? Where are they at? Anyway. Boy, I'm getting all kinds of answers. As we look at God's handiwork in nature and the heavens, we should thank Him for such magnificent beauty and the truth that it reveals about our Creator. Now, I remember one time we were driving from St. George across the deserts down to Kingman, Arizona, and it's desert, red rock desert. Some cactuses here and there, a lot of sagebrush, and lots of red rocks. And the storms that they have in the desert are nothing like the storms that we have here. When we have a storm here, it rains for days. When they have a storm in the desert, it just goes, and then it moves on. And we were driving through there, and this, they call them cells, this cell came through, and it was the cloud was black, dark. I mean, it was, you knew something was going to happen. And all of a sudden, lightning started coming out. And they have their lightning is even different than the lightning here. We have lightning strikes, but a lot of times we'll have what we call blanket lightning, where they're just the sky lights up and stuff. Their lightning is like lightning bolts. And we're driving down the road, and this cloud was just, it was just erupting over there, and lightning started coming out, and it was like a welding rod. I mean, it just went zap, and it hit this pile of rocks, and it just stayed there, and was just like, and I was thinking, man, I'm glad I ain't over there. But it's just magnificent, and they have flash floods. You'd be dry one moment, and 6 feet of water, and I mean, water just it comes from nowhere. And it's just amazing the handiwork of God in nature and in the heavens. And church, we need to begin to thank Him for the magnificent beauty and the truth that it reveals about our Creator. This stuff could not just happen. I'm trying to make a point here. Amen? It didn't just... a bunch of cells came together. No, that's nonsense. That's a lie from the enemy. God created this. But I want to look tonight not so much at the Creator as the Creator, but rather look at the power of His Word. He spoke these things into being. Amen? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19, would you? Psalms chapter 19. Stand with me while we read these verses. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 14. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous and altogether. More to be desired than are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Father God, I pray you add your blessing to the reading of this word, your anointing to this preacher as I try and declare your word, and Lord, your anointing to the receivers of this word, Lord, that we would be transformed by hearing it. And I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to see in this psalm that his steps of meditation take him from creation through God's Word, through David's own sinfulness, and on into salvation. I want to break this psalm into three distinct parts, with the last one being the one that I really want for our attention to be drawn to, and so I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to just hurry right through this. But number one, is as God reveals Himself through nature. As God reveals Himself through nature, in the first six verses, we learn about His power and our finiteness. Our finiteness. Number two, as God reveals Himself through the Scripture in verses 7 through 11, we learn about His holiness and our sinfulness. And then third, as God reveals Himself through daily experiences, we learn about His gracious forgiveness and our salvation. Verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul referred to this psalm when he explained that everyone knows about God because nature proclaims God's existence and power, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. It does not, however, cancel the need for missions because the message of God's salvation found in His Word still has to be told to the ends of the earth. The fields, the Bible says, is white unto harvest. But the laborers are few. So while nature points to the existence of God, the Bible tells us about salvation. So God's people must explain to others how they can have a relationship with God. It's not a religiosity kind of a thing. We're not a religious group. We are a relational group. And we must move inside of that definition. And we have to explain to others how they can have a relationship with God. And although people everywhere should already believe in a Creator just by looking at the evidence of nature around them, God needs us oftentimes to explain His love and His mercy and His grace. That's where your testimony and mine come in. Because nobody knows the depths of the love for me like I do. I know what He's done for me. Ron, you know what He's done for you. Jim, you know what God has done for you. I know because I've experienced it. Oh, that's just a bunch of hubbub. Let me tell you something. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. Don't ever forget that. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. They can argue all they want about the fact that there is no God there, and this stuff just, you know, it just happened. There was no Creator. Listen, I've experienced God myself. I've been born again. I've been redeemed. I've felt the hand of God in my life. I've heard the voice of God in my spirit. I know there is a God. I know who I used to be. Not that long ago. And I know what He brought me out of. And I know I did not do that in and of myself. God needs us to explain His love. Let me tell you what God did for me. I pray that that young lady that gave her heart to the Lord this morning tells somebody. I just went to that church first time today. I'd never been there before. But God, let me tell you what happened. Jessica, thank you, because I'm horrible with names. What was your name? Just kidding. Listen, we laugh at this, but God really did put us here to tell the world about His love and His grace and His mercy. That's what He put us here for. What are you doing to take God's message to the world? The second point that I want to talk about, the second point speaks of God revealing Himself through the Scripture, where we learn about His holiness and our sinfulness. And when we think of the law, we often think of something that keeps us from having fun. But here we see the opposite. Look at the law. Look at God's Word. Well, look at it like a corral or a fenced-in pasture. See, a horse or a cow or a calf or sheep or whatever you want to put in there, they can do anything they want in the parameter. In the confines of that corral or that pasture, it's when we get outside the confines of the pasture or the corral that we get in trouble. So think of God's Word more in the likeness of a corral. As long as we stay in the guidelines and the parameters set forth in God's Word, we can have a great time. Listen, I've had a whole lot more fun after I've become a Christian than I did before. Amen? And I remember some of it. Some of you will get that on the way home. But God reveals Himself through Scripture, where we learn about His holiness and our sinfulness. And we think about the law, we often think sometimes it's something that keeps us from having fun. But here we see the opposite. The law that revives us, makes us wise, gives joy to our heart, and gives light to our eyes, warns us, and in fact rewards us. It's because God's law is guidelines and lights for our path rather than chains on our hands and our feet. They point at danger and warn us, and then point at success and guide us. Don't do that, don't do that. The devil's saying, go ahead. Go ahead. And the Holy Spirit say, no, don't do that. You're going to regret it. Oh, yeah, it ain't that big of a deal. And so we do it and we regret it. And we like, oh man, we feel lower in a snake's belly in a wagon track, man. I mean, we just feel terrible. When the whole time it could have been avoided if we would have just listened to the voice of the Lord that is saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it, not that way. They point at danger and they warn us, and then they point at success and guide us. The third one is God reveals Himself through daily experiences. In Psalm 19, 12 through 14, we learn about His gracious forgiveness and our salvation. Listen, I couldn't even begin to guess how many people that I've led to the Lord at altars. This altar, the altar in the other church, the altar in Coos Bay, which, by the way, we have one of my former youth group people. She was just 13 years old, for crying out loud. But she showed up over here, and she's been coming to Wednesday night, and she was here this morning in church. Listen, I've given a lot of altar calls, and I've led a lot of people to Jesus, and I don't never, ever get tired of it. I've never stood here in this pulpit and said, if you want to get saved, raise your hand. Somebody raise their hand. Oh, man. Another one. I've never said that. I've never said that. I rejoice. The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner gets saved. One. They go, I mean, I would love to see a picture of that. I would love to just experience. I mean, I bet that's a good time. Amen. His gracious forgiveness and our salvation. I want to focus on this, because part of being human is that we're not always aware of our faults. Hello. We are not always aware of our faults. And although other people can be painfully aware of our faults, we are sometimes unaware of our own shortcomings, either out of ignorance or because we choose to block them out. But if we'll read God's Word prayerfully, how many of you know that there's a difference between reading God's Word and reading God's Word prayerfully? If we read God's Word prayerfully, God is faithful to reveal things to which we have been blind. How many of you have ever read a passage of Scripture and it's just been fantastic? Oh, that was so good. I just love that so much. 2 years later, you go back and read the same passage and it's going... You're like, where'd that come from? It's because it's the living Word, and it speaks to us in ways that we need. And then when we confess and when we repent of those kinds of sins, He reveals that we can in fact be cleansed from those sins or our secret faults. See, when we can never begin to understand, church, the depths of our own sin, let alone cleanse ourselves of it. If we truly want to lead pure and sinless lives before God, which ought to be the desire of every one of us. It sure is for me, but I fail so bad. So I preach this message to myself. But if we want to lead a pure and sinless life before God, we have to be willing to allow God's Word, along with God's Spirit, to examine our hearts, our minds, and our behavior. Our behavior. We don't mind Him looking into our heart, looking at our, but when He starts checking our behavior, amen? Search my heart, O God. What's the old song? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. Make me more like You. Amen? That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our desire. I want to lead a pure and a sinless life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says that He might sanctify and cleanse her with washing of water by the Word. Amen? If you want your mind and heart and soul and spirit washed, read God's Word. Paul goes on to explain that Christ gave Himself for the church in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the water, with the washing of water by His Word. So His death sanctifies and cleanses the church. He cleanses His people from the old ways of sin and sets us apart or sanctifies us for His special service. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that God has a distinct, separate purpose for your life apart from your neighbor? He has a call and a plan and a purpose for your life. You didn't just happen. That's why when I started talking about a baby in the womb, God knit that child together. God put in that child a desire and a dream and vision. He wired that child to do specific things for the glory of God. But listen, we get lost along the way after we're born. That's why we need to be born again. When we allow His Word to cleanse us, our sins are exposed to the light of God's Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can confess those sins and turn from them. That's what repentance is, folks. Turning away 180 degrees, going the other direction. 1 John 1:9 promises that if we confess our sin, this is a promise from God. It is an absolute promise. If we confess, that's a big if. If you don't confess your sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's Word. That's His promise. If we choose to try and cover up our sin, we only cause ourselves distress. And usually find ourselves falling into even greater sin. Because if we put up with one, the next one's going to be a little bigger. And then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Allowing the Word of God to begin to search our heart and our mind not only brings us to a cleansing of our already committed sins, but it will help prevent future sin in our lives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will remind us. He quickens our mortal body. He quickens us. Don't do that. We tell Him, I got this. It'll be all right. Remember what I said this morning? Sometimes we see how close we can get to sin without actually falling in, but we always end up in trouble. When I was a kid growing up, we had these things that you bought them at Bi-Mart and they had Payless in those days, but you had a thumbtack in one end of it, and you stick the thumbtack in the ceiling, and then you pull the box carton down, and this film come out of it that was the most sticky stuff in the entire world known to man. And a fly would land on that thing, and he was just done, because it would just stick. Really? Dennis. Oh, my Lord. What would we do without Dennis? What a joy. I don't even know what I was saying. I know I was talking about fly traps, but I don't know why. Oh, well. Yeah, it sticks to us. Amen. Amen. But according to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, he will no longer even remember our sins. Woo! That's good. Allowing His Word to search our hearts and our minds not only brings to us cleansing from our already committed sin, but helps us prevent future sin in our life. God desires to forgive us and to restore us. At the same time, we should never take God's forgiveness lightly. We have, in America and in our society, there are, in so many ways, we have cheapened grace. We have cheapened grace. We just figure, well, I'm covered by grace and blah, blah, blah. His mercies are new every morning so I can repent and carry on. I'm afraid that's going to only carry us just so far. Amen? Because you don't know the day or the hour. And that's too big of a risk. God desires to forgive and to restore us. For sure. Look at Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. See, when we let God deal with us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us, we discover that there is nothing more freeing than to confess our sin. It's like packing around a backpack full of rocks or whatever, and it's heavy and you're weighted down and you're not as agile and you can't get around. But when you shed that pack, it's like, wow. There's nothing more freeing than confessing our sins, which by in reality means to agree with God about our sinful behavior. Hello. To turn from it and to allow God's gracious forgiveness to cover us. Let me close with this, verse 14 here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This verse is often quoted and it attests to the importance that God places on our words and in our thoughts. He sees and hears it all. Remember this morning that I said that our words are we're going to be held accountable according to God's Word for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. We should be careful what we say. He sees it all and He hears it all. The text literally says this: let what I speak and what my heart murmurs to itself be a delight to you, Lord. Amen? Let what I speak and my heart murmurs to itself be a delight to you, Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? So what is sown in the heart will be reflected in what we say. Think about that. What is sown in the heart will be reflected in what we say. What is in your heart will pop out your mouth. I mean, and it might be at the most inopportune time. And that thing will just jump out and you cannot stop it. Once it's out, it's gone. we watched a TV, what is it, the junior chef. We watch food stuff on TV. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just for you know. And this little kid, by the way, his name was Shane. Shane the Train, they called him. I don't know where they would get anything like that. But this little kid was like 10 or 11 years old, and he could cook like none other. And they start out with like 40 kids, and they wind it down week after week after week after week. And so this little kid, he, based on what the judges said as they're tasting and checking his food, this little guy knew, he knew that he was going to be in the final two. And he deserved to be. His cooking was spot on. And when the judges are making this first one, was he, she goes over there, that's that person, and then and so they start talking, and this little kid, old Shane, he's over there just grinning like a mule eating cactus because he knows he's next, man, and he is excited. He's going to be in the finals. He's going to be the junior chef, and it's going to be great. And they're talking about this food, and they're talking about the way it was prepared. He's just grinning because he knows it's him that they're talking about. And then they named this other person to be the, and his face. I mean, it's the power of words. It's the power of words. What is sown in the heart is reflected in what we say. And what we say and how we say what we say has impact like none other. That little kid, you could see, I mean, he was so excited. The joy was in. And you know what this little fellow said when he left? He was crying. He was brokenhearted because he knew that he was going to be the junior chef. And he was devastated. And as he walked out of the place, he walks out and he says this: God has a plan for my life, and it's going to keep going. Yeah. I was like, that'll preach. That little kid knew who was in charge. You can not let me compete in the final. It don't make a difference. He knew enough to know that his God had a purpose and a plan for his life. And that didn't matter because God was still in control. Man, I'll tell you what, that blessed my heart. In other words, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can go into the depths of our being and do the correcting and the changing and exposing work that is necessary in order for us to grow. And God will purify us lovingly and gently. That little kid had some loving care and nurturing done in his life. He knew who he served. Don't fear his work in you. Don't even fear when you get rejected like that little guy did. He knew he had it wrapped up, and so did everybody that was watching the TV program. Don't let rejection side rail you. Don't fear God beginning to work in your life. Trust Him in your life, even your innermost self. Let God have control in your life. And I promise you, your life will be a masterpiece for His glory. Amen? Amen. Let God cleanse you by His Spirit and by His Word. Let Him provoke you. Let Him minister to you. And then be obedient to what He tells you to do. If He tells you to talk to somebody, go talk to them. Amen? Amen? Father, I love You tonight and I thank You. Lord, You deserve the glory and the honor and the praise God, for all that you do and all you are doing and all that you are going to do, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, I rejoice that you love us and that, Lord, your salvation is for us. Lord, that you didn't create junk. That, Lord, that you will make a way. Even when there doesn't even seem to be a way, God, you'll make a way. And Father, for that I give you praise and glory and honor. Be with your people, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd be with those that have had prayer. Lord, I pray that you would continue your healing. I pray that you would continue to repair and restore not only relationships, not only lives, God, but restore the church. Restore the church, Lord. God, the church needs your touch. The church needs revival, not pumped up, hyped up religiosity. It needs Holy Ghost revival, God, to transform. The transformations, Lord, that will be real and will be lasting and will last for eternity, that will have an impact, Lord, not as a flash in the pan, but the long haul. And Lord, I thank you for it and I give you glory. And Lord, I prepare my own self, Lord, for revival. Lord, we need revival in ourselves before we're going to have revival in the church. Lord, help us to have personal revival. And God, will be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. And we will see you Wednesday night right back here, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.